We have an exciting day. Let me start with prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you with joy in our hearts for the honor we have to call each other brother and sister, to come in your family together, knowing that in the fellowship that we have with you and the life that you share with us, we have an eternity to walk together, to learn of you, to take joy in the fellowship of your life and of your person. To be taught by you, to walk with you, and to live together. Be rejoicing and look forward to those times. We look forward to the time you have us in now, Lord, where you're bringing us to a Sabbath rest. You're bringing us to a full awareness of the wonderful salvation you've wrought for us, and that you personally share with us, and you personally instruct and teach us and bring us unto maturity. So we'd ask that you'd bless this time today. Make it a time where we know your presence, we know your hand upon us, we know you're resident within us, and we know a supernatural divine understanding communicated by you and the wonderful word you've given us in this first epistle of John. I ask you to bless us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, guys. Here we have jumping study objective, gentleman. We'll just pause him for a little bit. I'm going to just one quick second adjust the screen. I noticed I didn't do it last time. And what it does is brings the graphics inside of our talking heads over on one side. Makes it a little smaller, but still it's plenty visible. And then if you do review the PDF, you can always increase it in size. Today, as you can see in the contents, the discussion point is the words of my mouth. And we're just going to talk about that a bit after I have two short songs, and then we'll talk about the words of my mouth actually being each one of our mouths, not just my mouth. So it's somewhat personalized. Then we're going to move into a summary of prayer. We finished prayer overall, as far as our approach to it over the last couple of weeks, but we haven't summarized it to put it into the box. And we're going to do that. Shouldn't take us but if not too many minutes. And then we're going to move into the quad relationships, looking at the parallel passages, similar topics and key words from John that we would find that would be indicated by Paul and or the author of Hebrews in the quad epistles, and then see if we can glean any insight from that in regard to what the Holy Spirit's teaching us, focused on what the Apostle John has said. Here we have our First John, blocked off in thought blocks, highlighted in red borders, the epistle with just the one we're currently active and engaged in. Moving past that, now we have our listing. We're getting used to doing mains, bullets, insights, prayers, quad relationships. Once again, reminding ourselves that we're responsible to kind of, when we get a chance, like we did last time, to do, well, we did actually in the Hebrew study, to do word studies, cultivate meanings of the content of key words, phrases, and so forth. We aren't doing that in this study. We've moved beyond that with the assumption that we individually take care of those types of things. So we're not perplexed and held back with, because we don't know a meaning of a word when we're developing the mains or the bullets or the insights. So we're at a depth of study there initially we and assumed we've actually put quite a bit of time into this prior to now. And some of us have, of course. All right, let me read the paragraph for us tonight. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are of God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the spirit of God. Every spirit which confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit which does not confess Jesus is not of God. This is the spirit of Antichrist, of which you heard that it was coming, and now it is in the world already. And then from there, of course, we move down the page to our main notes, how we cultivated those. And as we move through the study, these that relate directly to a given paragraph will be further developed, and at a greater develop might take a couple pages because we're getting kind of used to how we're doing this. Here's the bullets in a series of four as they appear in the paragraph. You guys will recall our study in regard to looking at observation, going from observation as facts to insights, at getting behind what is the mind of the Holy Spirit and of John, and what was he thinking when he put his thoughts together in the words that he used. I have an example then of a chart for the fruit of the Spirit. Page. Okay, so we finished that. I want to summarize prayer. So after insights, we had prayer, remember the types of prayer. All right, we got about that far. So from here, we have to go over here and in the prayer box, put our summary. And so we're back to here. This is, if you guys recall our conversation, it might have taken about a week and a half to get this stuff in here. And as far as prayer notes go, before we jump into forcing this into a summary, maybe an encouragement and a focus for us is, who is it that we're dealing with in this epistle? Who's dealing with us? What's he trying to accomplish in us to his own glory, honor, and the vindication of his name? And what is essential for that to take place? He being vindicated, he being glorified by what John has to say and what he's touching on in the believers, in the heart of the believers. So our prayers, of course, are addressed to God himself. And so what's the foundation there? And then in harmony with him, we know what his will is, if it's a vindication of his name. We haven't spent too much time in specifics talking about, well, how does his name get vindicated? But he remembers something specifically in Ezekiel 37 that we touched on. How God's name gets vindicated. Reason we're asking that question, of course, in regard to prayer, is that's the foundation of and the focus of our prayers. The content of it would be chapters 4, verses 1 through 3. And so this is content that would be the foundation of taking prayer up to God pertaining to this paragraph, would pass through the content of this paragraph, see what the Holy Spirit and St. John are touching on in regard to our lives. And then it's shaped and formed by the Lord, by us then knowing what God's will is pertaining to himself. And this is direction and content that is honed by him being glorified and vindicated. That's what he's doing in our lives. So this paragraph takes on unique meaning. So if we go to Ezekiel 37, unless somebody came up with it, it saved me from going back there. Only one excuse for that one is Marcia. Not because go ahead, Sonia.
When his sanctuary is in the midst of his people, he's dwelling.
Yeah.
Coming.
Go ahead. Yeah, you keep going if you want. Exactly, yeah. Or in words of Hebrews, one of the quads, what is his sanctuary in the midst of us? What is it? We are his.
On his house?
Yeah, we're his house. Hebrews taps right into Ezekiel, several other places, direct quotes. But the imagery he presents that we are his house is he's taken up residence in his dwelling place, in the created order, on planet Earth, and for us, in our time here while we're walking mm-hmm. around, and for the rest of eternity. We're his dwelling place. He's his so great high priest that he has made us so. John taps into that, wants us to bring an awareness, indeed, that we have eternal life. It's his son and stuff. He doesn't use kind of the terms that Paul uses in regard to house and glorified us in chapter 2 and sanctified us and so on. The Hebrews is building the presentation of we are his house made that way by the finished work of the so great high priest. And then John touches on it in different ways. So that, if for reference, if you guys need to see that, go up and read 37, which follows the unfolding in 36 of the new covenant, but verses 24 through 28, which I'll quickly read, my servant David, which of course then is Christ, shall be king over them, and they shall have one shepherd. And they shall follow my ordinances, be careful to observe my statutes. By means of what? He's going to put his soul in the previous chapter. He puts his Holy Spirit, gives them to us, puts them within us, causes us to keep his judgments and to do them. They shall dwell in the land where your fathers dwelt that I gave my servant Jacob. They and their children and their children shall dwell there forever. And David, my servant, shall be their prince forever. I will make a covenant of peace with them, shall be an everlasting covenant with them. And I will bless them and multiply them and set my sanctuary in the midst of them forevermore. My dwelling place shall be with them. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And then the nations will know that I, the Lord, sanctify Israel, and my sanctuary is in the midst of them forevermore. To put it in the context of our discussion point today, then the words of God himself manifest in our hearts will rise up through our beings, come right out through our minds and out through our mouths, and our articulation will be a conscious witness and testimony and praise of a living God that's standing in front of another human being. How awesome is that? Okay. Mm-hmm. So a little background to now, how are we going to squeeze this stuff into our little prayer box? So Lord, please give me the confidence and knowledge to ask your will. So what we talked about, the foundation, we just saw that his will is for his life to be made manifest in each one of us as his children, in some context that the world and the nations and the created order and the principalities and powers and heavenly places will see God, the unseen outside of the created order, resident in the created order, in participation with it. He's part of it now. The creation he made, he's actually participating. He's a part of it. And he lives his life in and through a body that he made for himself in the created order. And it brings glory and honor to him to have his life go out from that, be known and be seen by all that he's created. So our prayers, we should be consciously aware of the uniqueness of what his actual personal will is for himself in you and in me. So our prayers would be in solicitation to that, or praise of that, and thanksgiving. So let me know you hear me in what I ask and have obtained. Worship, praise, and thanksgiving. Thank you for engaging us in participation, your will and its fulfillment. Thank you that you are such a one that hears, listens, guides, and answers. Now, if you note kind of the stuff we have here, and let's just take a second and look at it. We're somewhat impersonal and step back a bit, not quite engaged to the degree that I think the Holy Spirit is soliciting, it would be the right word, but is pulling out of us. Somebody say that? He's pulling his life out of us. Now, just another sidebar thing in reflection to cultivate virtue. We're not independent of this life. We've been made one with it. And this nature of his residence, we participate with him in his life. And so it also then bears responsibility on our part to cultivate and work together with this precious spirit who wants to share the heart of God with all those outside of us in the uncreated order. It has to pass through our beings. We're not robots. We're engaged with him and how he uses our minds, how he uses our memories, our emotions, whatever component parts of our being, he uses it all. If you want to go to Romans and Paul's quote, not suggestion, but I would suggest a context of what it means to be a child of God. We yield up our members as instruments of righteousness. It's the instruments of his life within us. He's the only righteous one there is, and he's sharing his righteousness with us. And we're not outside of him. We're 100% participants. But the distance from becoming a child of God and then coming to the Sabbath rest is an awareness of the life that we have and a surrendering to a participation of what rises up in his being and this co-participation in this life that we co-share together, he resident in us, in my personal being, which is new to me. I'm a new creation. It's new to me. It's not new to him. It's new to me. I know God, but what's Paul say? Better, higher than that, we're known by him. He knows us through and through. He knows every aspect of our being. And if in his so great salvation, he's delivered us from corruption, from wickedness, from evil, he's delivered us from and have crucified the flesh in Christ Jesus. I don't have to go do that stuff, which preoccupies most of our Christianity, many of us, most of our years. I can be totally occupied with the life that indwells us and jointly work with him in how he wants to use my mind as an avenue of his holy thoughts in my mind and his in my words. Is this making sense to you guys? Christian life so very practical. How can we walk together with you today, Lord, to manifest your being in the life you've given me on earth? Those that I engage with outside of me, that walk with me, or those that I haven't met yet. Chapter 4, the first paragraph, is dealing with sending us out and engaging. We've been discussing, well, what do I look at? How do I see? How do we discern? And so forth. And so now we've stepped a little bit deeper into we know, see, and discern from who and what we are, which we've already identified. We're children of God, and we talked about that. But now it engages parts of our being. And then also, in contrast to that, the mind of the world is seen for what it is. In that little sermon that the brother does, he'll touch on some of it. All right, I know that's a lot, and I've kind of expanded it a bit and pushed us a little bit towards the deeper end of the pool here. So in regard to, we can address that in prayer now, because in the context of prayer, we're dealing actually with God himself, his heart, and the things he wants to do, and what's rising up in us, we would note and discern. What rises up in us in regard to our relationship with God, we may not quite know how to interpret some of that, but the desires of our heart is his nature being manifest inside of us, and we learn to recognize and then participate with that expressed residence, his sanctuary in us, his life. It's not separate from us. We've been made one with it. The slight left turn into being bent in regard to that is contemporary science fiction. That was just kind of a slam to some preoccupation some of us have with that. So, how might we take this and summarize what we've actually done in this and put it into a summary of prayer? What might be in all of that? Plus, throw in what I sprinkled it with what I said. And to form a summary of that we could look back and say from this paragraph, our summary, at least initially, of what our approach in prayer regarding the content here might be expressed in 3-4 phrases. You know, we could have a bigger box like up there in Insights. Does everybody know my question? Yes. Good.
Yes.
Thank you. They can use the who, what, why, where questions and talk to God. Like, this is, and I'm just being straight out here. This is low-hanging fruit. And we all have, in the context of our lives, we have an inherent ability as children of God to grab the fruit on the highest branch of the tree. Because that's who we're participating in already. We may not have just dawned on us or taken enough time to realize that aspect of the life that we have. But we can be dead honest with God. Lord, what does this paragraph have to do with you being vindicated, you being glorified? What does this paragraph have to do of your life within me and how you want to go out through me and use me as your house? You want to go out the front door or the back door or the windows. You want yourself to be known to the world that you're participating in now and throughout eternity that you are here, that I am that I am, and be seen and known for the beautiful, awesome God that you are in the created order, not worshiped outside of it, worshiped inside of it. That's why the God-man, the birthed God-man in the created order, is sitting at the right hand of the Father. Not only are there angelic beings that are wonderful, but the highest being that is in the created order. And in the earthly context of being made out of component parts that are right out of mud originally. I mean, He so elevates the created order, raises it up, and honors it by taking residence in it. There's nothing negative or evil or wicked in regard to his work. Okay, so we could ask a question. How does it, Lord, how does it bring glory and honor to you? How does it vindicate your name? By in and through me, I'd discern the spirits, or I'd recognize the Antichrist. I mean, what's going on here, Heavenly Father? So those are just a couple quick, you know, examples. In the dynamic of this paragraph, in the created order, in our today world, you and I, this has relevance to God being vindicated. He wants to, in us, go out and discern the spirits and our fellow men and share the gospel with them to discern who's of God, who's not. This has nothing to do with judgment or criticism or criteria. It has to do with opening our eyes and discerning, as Hebrews would suggest, that which is of God and that which is of not. And then to utilize this maturing in us that indeed not only do we have something to share, but it's God himself who wants to share himself. So I have to know who I'm dealing with. So that's an aspect, and as you engage that's a suggested way to dialogue with God in prayer, but then in expectation, ask him to make sense out of this. Am I the only one having fun today? No, we're all having fun.
We're having fun. I just don't know how to bring this, put this in a prayer. That's all. I'm just thinking about it.
Okay. And just in regard to what Curtis said, none of us know. The thing is we got to start doing it. We just got to just do it. Our minds aren't used to this. We're not used to talking to God. We got all this perceptions of talking to God and what he looks like and all that. You're not you're talking to him, but he's also resident within us. He's also the one who is encouraging us to engage with him. He didn't save us to be put us in a room of silence and look at the corner because we've been bad. You know, the Holy Spirit's a dynamic teacher energizing our beings and wanting to reach up to the Father and have this dynamic. By means of this dynamic, our life is confirmed. The Holy Spirit is in supernatural divine ways matures our heart, our mind, our spirits. We get changed from glory to glory. Put all these scriptures together, and it happens in engagement with God himself. Now, each paragraph that John develops here is going to, the Holy Spirit's going to highlight different aspects, but it takes just blurting it out or thinking, all I was doing was thinking out loud. And Lord, and just ask, Lord, how do I pray this? We all could say that. Or, what's this mean? You know, and then we start to get deeper and dig through it. And how might this allow you to be glorified? I'd like to understand because I want to participate with you, Heavenly Father. And then you can turn it to think how wonderful it is that you want to engage, you're resident within me, but you want to go out and use this. You know, this Marky here, or Curtis, or Linda. Or we could pray, Lord, how'd a bird get in here? Little light humor there. The bird wants to talk. All right. Somebody come up with something we can do with these ones in the green box, black, that we'd summarize. So just make them. Put them together. I mean, we're covering kind of, we got a couple similar things going on that we could make a little more compact, put in a phrase or two. Here's another example that could possibly head towards a compact box, but John doesn't use these words. Paul does. These examples, I don't particularly care for one of them because it's been so misused in our lifetime, in our Christian world, but equip. And so John knows, the Holy Spirit knows, and John's conveying it to us that we have already been made children of God. We've already been equipped, because in this paragraph John's telling us you got to go out now. You're recognize the planet you're walking in. You're not alone. He resides within you. He wants to be glorified and vindicated, and he's made you and tooled you up to be able to accomplish whatever he puts upon our hearts and whatever he unfolds here. And so he has built us up as his children and confirmed that. He's equipped us with tools to be able to test the spirits. When we talked about some of that, he's equipped us to discern the spirit of Antichrist when confronted. when we see or take note of. He's equipped us with hearts that don't judge our fellow man, but recognize that time's getting short, and we need to, as the Proverbs have said, we need to put our arm in and pull other brothers and sisters to come to know him out of the fire. And so this all has a purpose. And his building up, however much time we have left, his body to from block to block to expand his family and his house into this mansion of many, many, many brothers and sisters necessitates our readiness and our toolness, of which we are. John's confirming here, we are ready. Well, Lord, help me to know I'm ready. Is there any place that faith is absent, that I'm unaware? Is there anything I'm thinking that I need before I go that causes me hesitation, that I need or don't need? Engage in that context. So that's all prayer stuff.
Okay.
Okay. Back at you. We didn't say it specifically here, but we could say, to get personal with the Holy Spirit, dear Holy Spirit, teach me how to test the spirits. Conversationally, Holy Spirit, teach me. This is new to me, Holy Spirit, and you well know that, Holy Spirit. And you can wait, a slight pause, and the Holy Spirit will figuratively nod his head and say, yes, I've been waiting for you to ask me. Holy Spirit, is there any way I'm assuming I know things that I don't? I want to go to the depth of what you're doing here, Holy Spirit, so indeed you can be vindicated and glorified. Indeed, you can use my members, me, my mind and my will, my heart, my spirit to go forth. But I need that confidence. I know my brother John has written this to convey to me this information and for you to highlight it in my heart. Help me to know and realize that. Engage with the Holy Spirit in the dynamic of indeed what he's doing with us. Just as an aside, you guys, this is only going to happen with you and the Lord alone. You hear me talking about and pointing out things. I just guess it'd be a rarity and it'd be great if our contemporary Christian world, our gatherings together as Christian people, would go alone in the side room in groups that are not too large, that indeed would engage in this context with him instead of the way we preach and hear and teach and so forth and all the rest of that. This is where the Holy Spirit wants us to be, in this engagement with him about the life he's given us. So we're really talking about the actual message that John has presented to us and the confidence he's building. But we won't get a handle on it unless we take it with both hands and start to engage it. So, well, all right then. That was for you, Curtis. You had something a minute ago. Nothing's right or wrong. Addressing God, how can you be wrong? No. Doesn't matter what you sound like to the rest of us. Addressing God, you can't be wrong. He didn't make us his kids to sit on a stump and zip our mouth shut in regard to engagement with him. Just as an example, why can't you shut little kids up? They're always asking mom or dad something. What's this? What's that? You know, until they drive you out of the room. That's what we are. We're little kids in this context. So just the what and the why is this here? And well, tell me again. Or show me again. Or if this is true in my heart, show me. Make this stuff concrete. Bring it into the events of my life. So a prayer could be... I'm sorry, Curtis, go ahead.
Well, yeah, that's a good point right there, because that's a part of the prayer we could ask, ask the Lord to make these scriptures real to us.
Yeah.
To make this... to where he could vindicate his name, that we would slow down enough to, how can I put it? Just ask the Holy Spirit to make, that our eyes would be opened and our hearts would be receptive to receive the knowledge and insight that his name might be vindicated in this earth.
Yeah.
Through us.
Yeah. And then, that's wonderful, and then make it practical. So that prayer you just prayed, and then today, Lord, bring me into an engagement with someone and point out to me the context of testing every spirit. So in other words, bring me, wake me up in the midst of conversation with someone.
Yeah.
Wake me up when I'm at the gas station, or wake me up when I'm at Costco getting groceries, or wake me up when I'm at church sitting next to somebody in regard to when I have to talk to everybody. But you're doing this with me, Holy Spirit, and I'm going to step out in faith that today, in the events of the life that you've choreographed for me, that you want to engage in, you want to walk out into this world, and I'm your house and the vehicle for you to do that. Make me alert to the things that are happening. So today, make me alert to where the spirit of Antichrist might be. I don't know what he looks like. Help me to know. Help me to see. Or I don't know how to test the spirits. And obviously he doesn't mean get a clipboard and go do a sociological survey down the aisles of Ace Hardware and test every human being you run into. You know, and what would be the questions? Well, no. This life, go out and interact with other people and teach me in the events of my life, because that's where you want to be, Lord, out in life. We've had a time in Christian history where we had different groups. We still have some. But we had the mystics. And some of the mystics, actually even back, if you guys have heard of the Essenes, and I'm sure most of us have, in the time of Christ and the different groups that segued over from Judaism or different religious cults and so forth, where we'd go hide in a cave, or the history of the monasteries, where we'd seek separation totally from the world so I could actually be with God. What is John telling us in this paragraph? Is not separating from the world, recognize we're in it, and we're here for a purpose. Otherwise, take me home. We're here for a purpose, and this is the introduction to the first main paragraph pertaining to that in John. And so, okay, Lord, help me to accept that I'm here for your purpose of you walking around in the world, meeting and engaging those that don't know you to share your life, and embracing, putting my arms around those that do know you in celebration. What a wonderful day that would be if that's what we did. Now, I know a lot of Christians do that. But that's what John is pushing us to do. Every single Christian is going to be doing that as the Holy Spirit brings them to maturity. So maturity has to do with the joint participation, the fellowship of his person here on planet Earth. Okay. That's one good one. So
yeah, I can understand that, because I could see that, because when we're in that, well, participation, or that in that mindset where the Holy Spirit is teaching us, where we're being mindful of him, of that place that we can be in him, I could see that then where we are one with him, you know, and he will vindicate his name in that place, because you know, because he is, you know, he is, how can I put it, expanding our minds, and we are understanding what the Holy Spirit's and how he's leading us, and how he desires to vindicate himself or to manifest himself to the world.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And part of this is realizing simple things like, I'm saved to this end. I'm saved for his life. I'm saved for his fellowship. I'm saved for fellowship with him, and in turn, my brothers and sisters. I'm saved for the experience of his life being manifest and made known. That's eternity. But it starts now. We've been moved from the dominion of darkness, the kingdom of his beloved son, not in time to come, but already. And we need to begin to, I've always thought of it kind of as, well, I don't know anything about this kingdom, but in reality we do. Well, we should be spending our time exploring the kingdom now. Exploring the kingdom now, which isn't really what many of us in the church world present as the kingdom of God. But it's, in reality, as we see John presented here, it's his life resident. Wherever his life is, in the sense of Christ indwelling, co-sharing his life, that's participation in his kingdom. We can't stop doing that in the sense of, well, I have to think about it in order for it to occur or keep going on. No, he's going to do it whether you're thinking about it or not. His purpose is going to be accomplished in us whether we like it or not, which really isn't an issue, but many of us might think so. Whether we have reluctance. Well, in reality, you don't have any reluctance if you receive Christ as your Savior. Whether you knew it or not, you've already signed on to his salvation when you received him. And it wasn't the little print at the bottom of the contract. As you received him as Savior, in order for him to be your Savior, you yielded up your life to him, whether you realized it or not. In order to be saved, we're saved from, unto him. And it isn't a progressive transition. Okay. Well, so much for it's only going to take us a few minutes to get into that little box. Thank you, Curtis.
Well, I could see where he doesn't want us just dumb bunnies, you know, not knowing what's going on around us. You know, he certainly wants us to know, you know, and I could see where John is just brings it right down to the brass tacks and says, you know, test the spirits to see whether they are of God.
Yeah. We're not we're I mean,
you know.
Hebrews talks about it in chapter 5 there, but we're not, we have a degree of immaturity because we're being brought onto full maturity in the Sabbath rest. But the immaturity isn't normally what we think about. We're compelled to go forward. You know, Hebrews is so good in those warning sections, but we can gradually drift away. But this life in us is always pushing us forward, and it's pushing us and forward in the knowledge of his residence and his person and what he's like, which then changes us from glory to glory, and his life being manifest in us. Doesn't have to do with sin. It has to do with what you might have there in Peter, Second Peter there, in regard to the cultivation of virtue. Engagement with him would be the key to cultivation of virtue. Okay, let's push forward with another one. So we kind of, and Curtis, we kind of gave a broad stroke to, which could be pushed into the summary of the paragraph. From a distance, kind of general. Can we hone it down into a little more focused in the paragraph? General, we could say he's resident within us. He wants to get out, and he wants to go engage the world that he has us in. He wants, in the verse 2, he wants to bring other peoples to a confession that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, that Jesus Christ has come into their flesh.
I like what you said about where you said, teach me in the events of my life. I thought that was really a good lead, a good start.
Okay. Let me make a mark. Go ahead.
And then maybe teach me in the events of my life. How to, well, would it be too broad to say how to engage the people around me? Or is that too broad, or you want to give it more like John is putting it?
Yeah, he's kind of focused on whether
just
somebody's a child of God or not, right?
Yeah.
And also the enemy in regard to those that would be against Christ, the spirit that would be against Christ, uniquely against this confession of he's come in someone's flesh. He's come in the flesh. He's come into the created order as a personal being. What do you call embodied? Is there a term for that? Is there a term embodied? Might be in that vocabulary list, but let's see. Corporal? Is that? Well, anyway, embodied. Teach me. Oh, my goodness. What is that? So teach me in the events of my life. Do we want to go teach me in reference to testing spirits, how to engage or how to interact with as your emissary, vehicle, or as a witness and testimony of the truth of you have come in the flesh, or as the truth of the confession of Jesus. Is that kind of what we're doing there?
Yep.
Okay, so should I want to say something like that? Teach me in the events of my life. I mean, it could be simple. We're all used to it. How to be a witness for Jesus. But we want to have something with some, not cliche type of thing, but focus on this paragraph with touches on some of those bullets that the Holy Spirit's brought out that then we're asking specifically in this paragraph him to answer prayers pertaining to what he's given us in the paragraph. But teach me in the events of my life. Are we having a how-to? Or to know, what do we got? Teach me in the events of my life how to. I mean, simple, we're saying how to do this paragraph. Well, we got to take do this and add something to it.
Yeah, I suppose how to would be because it's more than you have to know, just we have to interact with them.
Yeah, yeah.
But there has to be a how-to with it.
Or, yeah, the how-to. Or, yes?
Or you could, or something on the order of, teach me in the events of my life to be so aware of you, of your, not discern, of your, you know, ability
how you want to do this in me.
Yeah, that, but I was going to get a little more specific, but
okay, go ahead.
Please teach me in the events of my life to be so aware of you. Our whole desire, our whole heart is to know him to such a degree living that we're so one with him, and it's like it's a no-brainer. I mean, that's kind of where I'm trying to get to. Just teach me in the events of, and this is how we learn, and by, you know, engaging with him in every event of life, teach me to be so aware of your, you, well, we don't say, I don't know how to get there.
Would presence be the word or not?
His presence? Is that your
saying? Yeah.
Kind of, but I'm thinking of it more of it just coming out. That would test, you know, that it's kind of that's test the spirits would be tested. His life coming out tests every spirit. His life coming out, you know, are all the good thing, are all the virtues, are all the things. It's so organic, I don't know how to
well, teach
maybe we better back to the how-to. I might be way off base here.
Well, teach me the events of my life, how you test the spirits. We're testing with his life, right? So how you test the spirits and packed into how you is how you do in and through me. I mean, he's sharing his life with us.
Yeah.
Is that working?
That seems better.
All right, let's get that down. We can change it. So what do we say?
We all understand that.
So how you, is that what we had?
Yeah. And what's my name? How you?
How you test this, how you discern?
Yeah.
Well, let's go how you you don't have to use this, but I want to end up with how you discern the spirits. The other part is in how you and what you do with their confession.
Yeah.
Because there's something going on in the middle part of this. And then he brings in the Antichrist. So we might have two sentences, but teach me in advance of my life how you. It could be how you are, how your life tests the spirits, because you were, that's where you were. So I think you're talking about his life. So how your life tests the spirits, manifests through us. I mean, that's the part that's going out into the world. So teach me in the events of my life how you, how your life, is that good? Is it life work for that? Because it's him. How your life tests the spirits? Does everybody follow that?
Yeah.
Teach me in the events of my life how your life tests the spirits. And then the other part is with the, and we could have and, but we'll see, recognizing both sides of the confession of Christ. Somebody's of the Lord, witnessing that they have received him as Savior, and they're not of the Lord because they're of the spirit of Antichrist, denying that that's something that God wants to do and or is possible. All that into the confession. That makes sense? So put all that content into the confession. Christ has come in the flesh. So teach me in the events of my life how your life tests. Oh, I should have tests the spirits. Recognizing the confession of Christ.
Yeah.
So in recognizing, we see we're discerning whether someone has a witness that they're a child of God, and there's a big hug in Red Owl, or no, they don't exist anymore, Cub. And then, as far as the dynamic going on there, the spirits and recognizing, is that what we're thinking? I don't know how to spell today. Is that recognizing the confession of Christ? Or its absence thereof, but confession.
Recognizes.
Well, recognizing, it puts us out doing something. Of course, his life does too. Do you want recognized? No. Recognize is good.
I'm not saying anything.
Okay. Teach me in the events of my life how your life tests the spirits and recognizing the confession of Christ. And if it's at the end of the service, it's in me now and forevermore. Sorry. It's a fun day when they get cooler. Otherwise, they're really whiny people. All right. Let's hear it top to bottom. What do you think, Marcia?
I'm struggling with events of my life.
Oh, okay.
I think that I might put teach me in our relationships how your life tests the spirits and recognizing the confession of Christ.
Oh, okay. Rather, so
an event could be going to, focus. Event seems to me to focus on perhaps the activity as opposed to the individual that you're in relationship with.
Well, okay.
I don't know.
Yeah, I think we had
I'm okay with what you have, but this, as you were talking, that's just what kept coming through my mind.
Yeah, but one of the reasons, let me jump back, and it's not critical. It's we're having an engagement party.
Right.
So there's an assumption by now with John, but just as a sidebar, he starts that out with first paragraph, first chapter, that we're children of God, that we're aware that we're children of God,
right?
not necessarily that we're aware of all the wonderful things that that means yet. And he draws on those as he moves his way through the epistle. But that we're already children of God, so that we're in relationship. He calls it participation. The Greek is the participation in the first paragraph of chapter one. And so we're in, and we're self-aware in the context of that is so. And we'd agree, yes. But he wants to bring it to fruition in the sense of maturity, Sabbath rest, so that this fellowship can be full. And this is part of it. This is the dynamic of what the life really is about up in here in chapter four. So teach me in the events of my life, meaning in the context of my relationship with you that I have. And I think that's where you're coming from. Right. Teach me in the events of my life. The life that I have is yours. I'm yours. I'm in a relationship with you and so on. How your life, the one we jointly participate in, actually test the spirits in everything you have me do in engagement with planet, with life, period. So that's events. That's where mine was in the sense of the term events. It's everything that happens in my life. It could be getting out of bed in the morning, having breakfast. It could be everything. But this, in this paragraph, it actually is the context of outside of ourselves with other beings. Okay, so, but I can change that. Teach me in the...
No, teach me in our, O-U-R, meaning our relationship with you, Lord. You know, it's our relationship, the Lord's and mine.
Okay, so...
you don't have to change it. I'm just sharing my thoughts. Like, if the group is comfortable with what's there, that's fine.
Well, we're beyond being nice to each other now. So we got to fight for our ideas in this group we have going here. And no one's offended. Teach me in the events of our, instead of my life, which I packed what you said into of my life. That's in there, but we can unpack that and not use of my life. But in the events of our relationship, how your life tests. Is that good?
Yeah, that's fine.
You're settling and not fighting.
Well, when I was talking about our relationships, I'm thinking our relationships with others that he brings us to, like the opportunity to engage with someone else and his life coming out of us.
Okay.
That's the opportunity for him for the spirit to teach us more discern.
Yeah. Well, okay. So that is actually
what I was thinking. But
yeah.
You don't have to say it the way I was saying it.
Well, a lot of that was packed into events, and then a lot of that was packed into life.
And that's fine if everybody understands.
Well, think of 5 months down the road when we're down a few sentences in the epistle. 5 minutes down the road, we look back, we're going to look at review of this paragraph, and we go to the summary of prayer, and we're saying this. How does that fit in with that paragraph? It has to lead us into the paragraph. So what you're saying may be necessary.
I don't know.
Because what we're saying here, what I have penned here already, could be quite distant from it in relationship to trying to explain how it fits.
Yeah.
But we're limited space, so it forces us to be as concise as we can.
Yeah, for sure.
Really? So are we saying teach me in my relationship with you how your life tests? Is that what we're saying?
No, Marcia added relationship with others also. So in the events of my life, how your life contains a lot more expanded, has relationship with others in our relationship, ours, the God and me, right? My life, God and me, that relationship. And then also the events packed in, there's relationship with others. I think Marcia had that in there.
Well, by using teach me in our, meaning the Lord and me, in the things that we're involved in, because we're involved in it together, you know. So
yes,
teach me in our relationships, substituting event for the activity of assuming an active relationship.
Okay.
Anyway, can't explain it any better.
Our relationship.
Yeah. There's our relationship, meaning the Lord and I, or the Lord and you, you know.
If I cap it, we got God in there. In our relationship, that's God and me, right? Capital R.
Yeah.
We're good?
Yeah.
Teach me in our relationship. I don't need of my life now. What do we got?
No.
How your life?
That's right.
Yeah, just take out of my life and it would read how your life tests the spirits.
And are we good then with recognizing the confession? I think that's good. And so as long as we're all on the same page.
What if our, O-U-R, was capitalized and relationship wasn't? Does that make it more clear?
Oh, well, even both cap.
Okay.
Because it could be interpreted with little r, that then it's wouldn't have the divine end of it, but with right. Our and then relationships, mine and my fellow man. You know? How your life tests the spirits, and in unseen parentheses, in and through me, and then recognizing the confession of Christ. By that we mean engaged in the world, meeting those that are of Christ and those that aren't.
Right.
Okay. He doesn't really have in this paragraph the evangelical side of things. In other words, when you see and meet and know those that aren't of Christ, share my witness and testimony.
Right.
That's not in the, it's in the paragraph in the context of who and what we are in the heart of God, but it isn't put in the paragraph in the context of a directive type of thing. That's inherent in who we are in this.
Right.
Our relationship. Yes. Okay.
I don't know. Like Curtis and Sonia, you were putting your input into that other. How do you feel about this change?
I think it's fine.
Yeah. It doesn't cloud what you were trying to get across.
Not at all. Not at all.
No. It's good.
Do we need to say anything more about recognize the confession of Christ? So if we go, by this you know the Spirit of God, every spirit which confesses that Jesus. So recognize the confession of Christ is assumed in others.
Yeah.
We start with. Yes. Right. We start with our relationship means I recognize and know it in me.
Right.
I know it in me. I'm going out to meet my brothers and sisters and or those that I can share the gospel with. And what's the, why should I do that? And what for? What's the foundation that this is built from?
God's will.
And that is?
God's will.
That ain't enough.
that his name is going to be vindicated in the earth.
Yeah, he's going to be vindicated by putting his sanctuary in the midst of us now and forevermore, and that's why we're saved.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what he wants to share with others. Okay.
One thing I was wondering is whether it would strengthen it to say rather than and recognizing, to say to recognize, because it seems like it might be more active.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, I like that. That was good.
Yeah. Yep.
Thank you for waiting. The spirits and to recognize. Yeah, to recognize. Thank you, Linda. That was good. Yeah. What am I doing? Recognize E. That's good. So it's teach me in our relationship how your life tests the spirits and to recognize the confession of Christ. It's a given that we recognize it in us, ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
That's a given. So the recognizes is the confession of Christ. The same confession that we have will be the same confession in our brothers and sisters, or it will be absent in those that don't know him. And part of the cause of that, or no, and that when we see and discern that, then down here in verse 3, we would attribute that to be they have been influenced by the spirit of Antichrist, or they're the spirit of Antichrist.
Mm-hmm.
And do we need to say something in regard to that? So not that they are the spirit, but it things that come out of their mouth would indicate the mind of the spirit of Antichrist. At the least. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, degrading the work of Christ, or the denial of the incarnation, you know, all the aspects of the I am coming into the created order and his embracing mankind and bringing them to himself, the recreation of mankind where we're new creatures. He had to do that by coming into the flesh. Yeah, I think that's good. We're kind of happy with this. Let me see if I got something for that. I'll do it for next time. I'll get a bunch of happy and sad faces up here, and then you know, we can add those to different ones where indicate just that, you know, well, we're somewhat happy with what we've done. So when we look back on it, we'd say, yeah, we had a happy time after that, but now we might want to redo it or not. But anyhow, happy faces. We can see the value of those. All right. I will stick that for next time into, where are we at here?
I'll stick that saved, right? Yeah.
Oh, no, not yet. I haven't. I think I will copy it right now and put it over there. All right, that's going to be our prayer one. Reduce it down a little bit in size. All right, I can do that afterwards. I'll save it. Well, you guys, thank you very much. It was... All right, so remembering our dynamic today and all the stuff I went through, all the stuff, anything of value that I might have shared that you see of value and how we ended up. Now, when we get to prayer for the next paragraph, we're going to be building our foundation from the same place, Ezekiel 36, 37, vindication of God. That's the gospel, the unfolding of the new covenant. We see in the epistle of Hebrews, Paul's work in Ephesians, Galatians, Colossians, John's work here, Hebrews, a whole new covenant, and the experience of the life of God in the author of the epistle, 1 John, the Holy Spirit, who is the one who's choreographed all this and presented us with the reliability of the written word for us, our confidence in that, and then our own experience of the life that we have. And so that's where we start from, knowing God's purpose for bringing glory to himself by means of his own life expressed in and through us is the foundation of every one of these paragraphs. So we have that to build from. This is the first time we've really pounded that out in reference to this will be unchanging as we move from paragraph to paragraph. So we'll see what happens to the words we put into the prayer box for each paragraph, because John's going to highlight different things and point to different aspects of the experience of this life and his reason and rationale of why that's in us in order to benefit the vindication of his name in the world we live in. Well, anybody have any questions for today's? I'd encourage you to read 2 Peter 1, 2. Read the whole book, 1 and 2 Peter. Really quite wonderful. But here we have the New Covenant in the first part of it, and then we have, what do I do after that? Well, for this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and the whole list goes on. These are things that the life of God in us, his life, wants to make known in and through us as whole, mature children of God, his house. This is what his life looks like, manifest in and through a human being, as it did in Christ Jesus, so it does in us. So remembering that. And then listen, if you get a chance, to this Words That Defile. The brother seems to have a pretty good message there. All right. Any questions? I will close with prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the joy of study today, for the rich and fullness that comes from the residence of your life within us, how we can engage in a dynamic way with each other, how we can push and challenge and think and learn to share and to learn and discern and recognize your life within us, things that you want to share and talk about, the confirmation of revelation and understanding that you bring to us. We take great joy in that each and every moment of our lives, it's you who's bringing us to a fellowship with your beloved Son, our Father, with your Holy Spirit, and with your maturing us and bringing us to Sabbath rest. So we look forward to the time to come. Trust you to bless our week, fill our hearts with love overflowing for our neighbor, and help us to be aware and know of your presence in and through us each day. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
That's all, folks.